Welcome to the Sarah Centrella Show. Join best-selling author, master life coach, and manifesting expert Sarah Centrella as she shares tips, tools, and inspiring interviews to help you create your dream life. It's time to hustle and thrive. Now, here's your host, Sarah Centrella.
Welcome back to the Sarah Centrella Show, everybody. Ooh, I'm excited for today. If you have watched my Instagram lives lately, I did a joint Instagram live the other day with this incredible lady. So you're about to get all the knowledge. We're going to be talking marketing, personal branding, so much stuff, what it takes to be a founder, follow your dream, all of that good stuff. But welcome to the show, Jacqueline Taylor. So excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh my gosh. Like I said, there's so many things that I want to know. I have two pages of notes.
I love it.
Of what I want to get into. But on this show, we always start off with a little bit of a background on your story, on how you got to where you're at. I mean, you are the co-founder of a very successful branding marketing agency. Mm-hmm. You also launched your own cosmetics line, which I'm super excited to go into. But nobody ever starts there, right? We all have a journey that takes us, you still probably feel like me, like you're still on your journey to success.
I feel like I'm on the spaceship. I'm still going up.
Right. So can you tell us a little bit about like where all of this started for you and maybe what some of those obstacles were that you've had to overcome?
Absolutely. So I'll take it back to around 2017 when I was in college. I went to Arizona State University, had my own little studio apartment that I was living in, laying on the ground watching Gary Vee videos all day, Jaclyn Hill videos, if you know who she is. She's a really big beauty YouTuber. And I was just so inspired by the digital space, but also the beauty space. Huge supporter for Jaclyn Hill. She was one of the first influencers to do a brand deal with a company called Hourglass. And they came out with this highlighter called Champagne Pop, and it just completely broke the internet. Everyone was talking about it. She had this massive launch party, and it was one of the first launch parties for somebody that was an influencer online. And I was so inspired when I saw this launch party. It sounds so silly, but I sat there watching this video on YouTube, and I'm like, how do I get a party like this? This looks so much fun. She was in like the cutest outfit. It was like gold and glittery, matched her Champagne Pop highlighter. I'm like, how do I get this launch party? Yeah. So I got into this mindset of, I got to start like a cosmetics brand, but I had no personal brand around me. I was putting YouTube videos up here and there. I was an aspiring makeup artist in Phoenix, Arizona. I did what I could do here and I kind of plateaued. I said, well, if I want to have this launch party and a cosmetics brand, I think I need to go to Los Angeles. So last semester of school, I packed up. Mom was pissed. She's like, nope, you got to finish school. I'm like, I'll finish it online in LA. She's like, well, we're not going to help you. And, you know, my parents were successful. They were great to me, paid for my college, paid for my housing. Like, if you leave, you're on your own.
Wow.
I'm like, all right. I was 22 at the time, had no idea what it would be like to be on my own. So I went to Craigslist. I found a roommate. I said, all right, I'll take a chance and live with this girl that I don't really know. I moved to LA like less than 60 days later of coming up with this idea that I just wanted a cosmetics brand and a launch party. Living in LA, I'm like, okay, what's the next step? I guess I should find a manufacturer. So I go find a manufacturer in LA. I sit down with them. They forget to have me pay a lab fee, which was $2,000. And at the time I did not have $2,000. So they waived the fee and they let me start creating a 9-pan eyeshadow palette. So I get the bill and I'm now like, I'm nannying, I'm doing makeup on the side. I'm sleeping on a mattress on the floor in a room with a girl I met off Craigslist. I'm like, this is great. So I get the bill. It's $100,000 to make the eyeshadow palette.
Oh my God.
I have no idea the type of investment.
Disclosure for that beforehand, right?
Yeah. And it's so funny because I tell people that often how much it costs to produce one product, and it was 5,000 units. So it's just not that much. If you go to Sephora or Ulta, they're going to ask you for like over 100,000 units. So 5,000 is not much, and it's a minimum order quantity as well. So like I had to buy 5,000 pallets. So I get this bill and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. And I tell my mom, and mom's like, what did you do, Jacqueline? I'm like, did you sign my contract? I'm like, no, I just like, if I want my eyeshadow palette, yeah, I'm going to have to give them $100,000. So I got into this mindset of where am I going to find $100,000? I've never even seen that number in my life, never even made anywhere close to that, right? So I'm on set with a clothing brand and it's a big deal. It's like a 3-day shoot. It was the highlight of my professional makeup artistry career. It was a big deal. We're in Carmel, California, beautiful on the coast in a mansion, stayed there for a couple of days. I'm like, this is so legit. On the last day of the shoot, I'm working with the founder of this clothing brand and I'm using the eyeshadow palette because I had prototypes. So I'm using it on her and she goes, this looks beautiful. Where did you get these eyeshadows from? And I'm like, they're mine. And I made them. Yeah. Like, well, you know, so she looks at me, she's like, what do you mean they're yours? And I'm like, well, I'm trying to get this eyeshadow palette thing going and start my own brand. She goes, that's funny. I'm trying to like start a cosmetics brand. And this is a decent sized clothing brand, multi-million dollar clothing brand. And I'm like, okay. So I go home. A couple of days later, she sends me an email. She goes, I cannot stop thinking about your eyeshadows. Do you want to get on a call and talk? So we get on a call and I'm like, look, I can get 5,000 eyeshadows made right now. It's $100,000. She's like, okay, let's do it. You put my name on the palette and you will put your business name to launch you. Yeah. Wires me $100,000 the next day. So by the time I got the bill to the time I got $100,000 was like less than a week.
Manifest that. That's what we call
manifest. The limit does not exist. I swear when you want something bad enough, it doesn't matter if they told me $20,000, $30,000, $1 million, I would have found a way to get it. So there's no excuses. When I hear people say, oh, I can't get into makeup or I can't start this business because I need X amount of money. You can go get it.
Yeah. The bottom line is you don't want it bad enough.
Money's everywhere.
Like, figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, not only did we launch the palette with them, they gave me a $60,000 budget for a launch party. Wow. And so my dream having this giant launch party. We had a rapper called Kid Ink perform, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. And word got around that Kid Ink was performing at this party in West Hollywood, and people were coming through the door, celebrities, big influencers, people that were on The Bachelor that season. And it turned into this like giant party. And
wow.
I was like, this is
you literally everything. Manifested.
Yeah. I'm like, I am an expert manifester. Right. Yeah. So I really did like put this out there and it was everything I wanted and more. And so that's kind of how I got my foot in the door with entrepreneurship. This was in 2019. So November, 2019. So February of 2020, COVID happens and they're like, we don't want to do any more products. We had this whole plan to have an entire line and they go, we don't want to do products. So now I made money off of the palettes. I now don't have another product. I don't really even have a cosmetics business because I did this eyeshadow with somebody else. So I'm like, I got to restart and create a cosmetics brand again. Yeah. So I said, well, what's the cheapest thing for me to do and who can I target and who do I know the most? I'm like, makeup artists and individual eyeshadows, get magnetic palettes and have people create their own eyeshadow palettes. And so that's what I came out with and launched because I didn't have to pay for packaging. I didn't have to pay for like packaging for the eyeshadows and brushes and things. I'm like, send it out individually. You make the palette yourself.
So cool.
So that's how I launched again.
So cool.
Yeah. So that's how I launched again. And then a couple months into it, Cardi B wears the eyeshadow palette to the Grammys. Wow. I have bigger celebrities wearing it, selling sunset caskets, their hands on it. They're wearing it on their show. They're tagging us. And we kind of blow up and we did $100,000 in sales our first month. So I keep seeing this like $100,000 and I'm getting excited. And I'm like, okay, this is what I'm meant to do. So then my phone starts ringing, people asking me, can you do consulting? I want to have a makeup brand, or I have a makeup brand, but I don't know what the heck to do, Jacqueline. And so my big thing was influencers and ambassadors. Right. And we were so specific on who we were targeting, and it was makeup artists. Like, how do I get my makeup in the hands of makeup artists? And so because of that, that's how Cardi B got the eyeshadow palette on her and articles written, because I had good connections with the makeup artist. And I said, hey, here's the palette, like, use it on her tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
She would. And so then I started connecting with more makeup artists. I'm like, hey, put this on Larsa Pippen, and, like, you know, have her wear it tonight when she goes to this event. And then it just started like a snowball effect. Like, all these makeup artists started using it. And so I created this influencer program, like, around makeup artists. So people wanted my list. They wanted my advice. So boom, I now have a beauty agency on top of the beauty brand. Right. And so then it turns into consulting, and then into full service. We're making Shopify sites. And, fast forward, I moved to Scottsdale 2 years ago. I'm sitting at brunch and I meet a guy named Buck Wise, who is now my partner in Closing Day Agency. And I'm telling him, like, I'm trying to run two big businesses right now. Like, I don't know what to do. We just went into skincare like last June. And he's like, okay, I'll do consulting with you, but it's 15 grand. I'm like, man, I haven't spent 15 grand right. on like personal growth ever. But I'm like, I'm going to give it to this guy I met 72 hours ago. Best investment, best thing I ever did in my entire life was give him that money. In like 30 days, we 4x my agency. Yeah. And we're sitting back, he's doing consulting, I'm running the beauty agency. And we're like, I think we would be more powerful together if we started an agency. And sure enough, a week later, I get a phone call. Somebody wants to buy the IP to the cosmetics brand. And I go, this is my sign. I'm going to get out. I'm going to make my money. And I'm going to go all in with Buck and start Closing Day Agency.
Wow. I love that so much. I mean, there's so many incredible nuggets in there. Number one, you following your gut, right? Like, you're listening to those ideas that come up and you're following through on them and you're taking action and you're not taking no for an answer. I mean, I think
this is
so common that, yes. you know, people are like, well, this isn't working. I really tried it. It's not working. All the doors are
right.
closed. Like, maybe it's not meant for me or whatever. And I mean, you and I are so much alike in the fact that it's like, nope, you didn't try that one other thing. You didn't take your makeup with you to that shoot and then talk to the lady about it, right? So it's all these little things that you are doing that you're not laying down and taking no for an answer. You're not like, I don't know where I'm going to get this money. You're putting it out there in every opportunity that you get. And that's what you have to do to be successful. But if you do that, you will be successful. Like, that Absolutely. Is the thing that, you know, I love your story because it just reinforces that. And I think so many people don't get that, right? They yep. just feel like, you know, if it's not hitting right off the bat, then maybe it's not meant for me.
Right.
And was there any kind of things that you did to help you steal your mindset, if you will, to become relentless in that way? Or was it just you had such a burning desire
Yeah.
And a clear vision that kind of got you through?
I always had a desire and a clear vision for where I was going. And I still do. And I never knew it was my superpower until probably like 2 years ago when I met Buck. He was like, everything you say just happens, but it's not because of what you say. You figure out the steps to get there. So even something as weird as I was driving down the street, maybe like five years ago, and I drove by these new condos that were being built in Scottsdale. And man, I would love to like live in these one day. And I ended up like purchasing one and living in it. And I randomly, as I was in the condo, was like, I think I drove by these and like manifested as I was driving by these. And then it kind of hit and it was like, wow, I think I just like speak things into existence, but I'm not afraid of failure either. So if one thing doesn't work, like the eyeshadow palette, and then leaving because of COVID could have just killed everything. Yep. I could have said, yep, that was it. I'm going to go back to 9 to 5. But I said, okay, let's just reinvent this again. And what can we do to get this off of the ground again? And I just looked at that as a fun experience and an investment to actually now start the cosmetics business.
Well, and I also think it's really interesting that when the opportunity came to you from the other founder who was like, hey, let's partner up and, you know, I'll put my name on it. There's a lot of people who would have been like, nope, that wasn't my vision. My vision was my name on my thing. Absolutely not, you know, and been so stuck to whatever their initial kind of idea was. They would have doubled down and would have completely blocked the blessing and would have totally blocked the manifestation.
Yes.
But I think being open to seeing like, hey, it might come from a source I didn't see coming. It might come in a way I didn't see it coming. And you probably learned so much through that initial partnership that in a lot of ways was probably really great for you. You know, it's not for 100K that you have to put up. You're working with someone else. So like there's so many great lessons that I bet came from that, that then helped you to, you know, jumpstart the next one even faster.
Partnerships in general have been key for me. From the cosmetic sprint to the agency and now with Buck, partnerships have always helped speed up the process. Like I
absolutely. And talk a little bit about that because, you know, relationship building is something that not everybody feels super comfortable with, especially, if you're, you know, meeting somebody who you perceive to be really high caliber. Maybe you're not there yet. You know, a lot of people feel maybe self-conscious in that. Are there any tips you can share on how you've been able to build some of those high caliber relationships and turn them into partnerships?
Yeah. So I think if you're trying to attract someone who is on the same path, but further ahead as you and have already reached success where you want to go, there's two things. One, you have to be able to be teachable. If you come across like you cannot be taught, nobody is going to want to invest their time, resources, or anything in you because if you can't be taught, no,
absolutely.
Right. And so the other thing is having no ego, thinking that you're the best at something when you're not. I don't even think I'm the best at what I do yet. I think there's so much more I can learn. And I think that's like where I find like the beauty in it is just, I'm always learning new things, or I go and I speak on stage and I hear something that clicks that, you know, the audience liked. I'm like, okay, that was great. And then there was something that didn't work. So now in the next speech, I'll keep that and get rid of the other part. So being able to be taught and having no ego can get you into bigger rooms for sure.
Ooh, that's huge. I think the ego thing is such a big deal for me.
Yeah.
I kind of always, I mean, I came up hard knocks, right? I've had lots of hard knocks in my life. And so I think that's kind of always helped me stay humble through anything that I've ever, you know, come across. But then I found like there's a kind of a fine line too, where it's okay to know your shit and be confident in knowing your shit without crossing over and being an egomaniac, you know? And I think the difference is, I think you just nailed it. The difference is still being like totally teachable and being a student of learning and trying to get better at whatever it is you're doing or better at yourself. And being a sponge for the knowledge that's around you, as well as like being like, hey, I know what my assets are. I know what I'm good at, but I want to also learn. I think that kind of combination is so huge.
Right. I'll give you a third. A third would be attitude as well. When I'm hiring, and I'm actually hiring for three different positions right now, so I'm doing a lot of interviewing at the moment. I hire for attitude because everybody can be taught something if they have the right attitude. So if you have a positive attitude, you're excited about life, you're excited about growth, you like money. My other question when I interview people is, do you like money? Because if you don't like money, I don't know if I want to work with you because money's an energy and it helps you have a better attitude when you're coming to work and you're excited to grow and make more money.
Absolutely. And I've watched one of the reels that you did recently on that. And I wanted to talk to you about it because I'm such a big believer in manifesting everything. And a big chunk of that is a financial abundance and wealth and letting go of whatever it is that's blocked you in the past.
Oh, right. Yeah. The money blocker.
Let's talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And having these thoughts that wealth or abundance is going to be a negative in your life and switching that mindset. You and I kind of talked about that on my live last week of just switching a negative thought into a positive thoughts. So I always thought, oh, I'll make too much money. My family won't talk to me. They'll think I'm too good for them. Maybe I'll change. Maybe my attitude will change. And then I switched the script to, well, my money can help me spend more time with my family, do more things with them, have them feel more comfortable. And I'm like, that's what I'm after. Yeah. I'm like, I like that side of the mind better.
Well, it's just so interesting because I think we are kind of, as a society, really conditioned two ways. One, like, A, you're supposed to want it because you see everybody out there flaunting it. All of a sudden, when you really entertain the idea, hey, that could happen for me, then we feel like, I feel guilty, or I feel like maybe I'm not grateful for what I have. Just it brings up all this shit, you know?
Yeah.
And working through that is so important, because if you don't, it is absolutely holding you back. And so I always ask, you know, if I'm working with a client and they have kind of a lot of that stickiness, I'm always like, think back to any big check you've ever gotten. Were you ever like, that fucking sucked?
No.
That's the worst day ever.
No.
Come on. Like, that just shows you money absolutely brings joy. Money spreads joy. Money makes life easier so that you can be yourself. You know, there's so many positives, but I think the messaging is so kind of like one or the other. It's really polarizing. Yeah. But if you can identify what it is that you believe and release that so that you can get that energy that you're talking about, of just like getting it to flow into your life.
Even when I got the $100,000 deposited for the eyeshadow palette, it was sitting in my bank account, and I took a screenshot, and I have it still I want my bank account to look like this every time I log in.
Every day. Yeah. Just watch it grow from there. Have this be the baseline. Yeah, absolutely. So then the business that you have, or that you co-founded a couple years ago, is really marketing and personal branding.
Yes.
Let's talk about that and kind of like what you've learned in your personal brand. I'm sure was pretty impactful in launching your second go around of your cosmetics line. What are some of the big lessons that you've learned when it comes to personal branding and marketing? Because I know everyone wants to know, and it's
such a hot topic right now.
Yeah,
everyone's got FOMO if they don't have a personal brand, because we're hearing it nonstop of just how powerful it is. People buy from people, which is why I think personal branding is so powerful. I'm going to purchase, or I'm going to go get my hair done from a girl because her personal brand looks great. She sounds educated. She does more education than the other girl I'm looking at on Instagram, who maybe posts here and there. Maybe she's posting going out and drinking beers. I'm okay with that. I'd rather go with the girl who's getting more education and learning more about hair and has great content on her page. And so it speaks volume when growing a business. And it's who do you want to actually attract? People say, oh, my brand doesn't attract like qualified leads. Well, it's because of the content you're probably creating, how you're speaking to your audience, and you're probably speaking to an unqualified audience. You're not actually speaking to a qualified audience.
Talk about the difference in those.
And
how do you know if you're the content creator and you're new to building your brand? How would you know?
Yeah. So I go through a process with my clients called like building out your personas and really understanding who they are. So I always ask, who's your highest paying client? They're like, okay, it's Kelly. I'm like, all right, so let's talk about Kelly. How old is Kelly? Is she married? Is she single? What are her goals in life? What's her occupation? How much money does she make? And we break all these things down and get the DNA of who this person is. And then we start building content that can speak directly to them. Kelly, who is married with children, doesn't want to hear about content for, let's say, insurance for a single woman, she wants to hear about like a family package for insurance, right? But if you're always talking about, you know, creating or selling a package for somebody who's single, why would Kelly ever interact with your content? So It's understanding on a deeper level than just saying, oh, somebody that enjoys X, Y, and Z. No, actually understanding the DNA. I even have a list of questions that I tell my clients, go call your top three clients and ask them the series of questions and just learn them inside and out. And then what I like to do is I am now into artificial intelligence. I go in ChatGPT and I make these things called brand profiles to help me understand them a little bit more. So I take all those answers, I put them into ChatGPT, and I ask ChatGPT, hey, ask me a couple more questions so you can get to know them better. And then I have ChatGPT working for me, really understanding them better. And then I can break it down going, well, what type of content should I be making for somebody like this? And then in 5 seconds, ChatGPT is giving me 5 or 10 ideas of content I can make that resonates with them. And so my big thing, or mine and Buck's big thing, is when you work with us on personal branding, we help you convert 20% more connections. It's not about leads. It's not about sales. It's the connections. I always say, how many people did you meet today that you didn't meet yesterday? That's your pipeline. So if you didn't meet anybody today, you're not getting in the right rooms. You're not connecting with enough people. You're probably not posting enough content. You're not being consistent, and you're not utilizing tools that will help you connect with more people. So I like to see the agency and the work we do is a way for people just to have more connections, because that's the basis of business.
And how, if we're talking social media specifically, those types of connections, like meeting new people, do you usually suggest that as DMs? Is that interacting on comments? Like what constitutes, I guess, a meet or a connection?
Yeah. So I saw this article today about call to actions on social posts. And it was talking about how if you aren't someone with a lot of authority and credibility online, let's say you have anywhere from 1,000 followers to 10,000 followers, the reason why you're not getting engagement with the call to action that you're putting on your posts is because it's a too big of an ask for an audience that doesn't trust you enough than somebody that's like Gary Vee or Tony Robbins. When he's like, comment this below, tell me how you feel. Nobody wants to be like the first person posting on something that maybe gets 5 comments. So it was talking about having smaller asks, one word comments, or share it with somebody that would be interested in this. Send me a DM. You just have to get people to communicate with you first. When they communicate with you first, then you have that opportunity. Oh, you want to know more? Okay, let me go in and DM you and talk to you. My biggest thing is sending videos. I hate doing text messages to people. Eye-to-eye connection converts 85% more than just somebody writing a text. Or let's say I turned my video off right now and you only heard my voice. It's so much more impactful when you see when you see my eyes. And so I'll send over a video message to anybody that follows me, anybody that even engages as far as a like or a comment or a DM. And from there, then you can get somebody onto a Zoom call or however you close the deal or have them come into your pipeline.
Oh, I love that so much. So big question that I have, it comes up a lot in the coaching that I do for business, is a new entrepreneur, let's say someone who is, you know, launching a coaching business. I train coaches. So I work a lot with coaches who are launching a business. And initially they really, really want to stick to like either something that they have catch branded. It could be a book. I mean, that was my first thing. I branded my blog, built a whole branding thing for my blog. Well, my blog, it exists, but I haven't written on it in 7 years anymore. So like that's gone. Then I did it for my next book because it had a really catchy, you know, title. So I built a whole, all social media, everything around this, trademarked it, did all this stuff. And then finally I was like, this is exhausting. I'm just going to do
talking. That exhausted me.
Oh my God. I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to do me. So now I always push someone who's thinking of like, hey, I just want to brand the one thing that people already kind of know me for.
Right.
People don't know my name yet, but they know like my product or whatever. Mm-hmm. What is your opinion on that? Cause I'm just really curious if someone who's like, doesn't feel like they have a personal brand yet, but they know they want to start to build that and all of that. Like, should they go with their name or go with one of those other things that feels a little safer?
If you're going to work on building a personal brand, it's your name, 100%. My other advice is just start. You just have to start. You just have to show up. Fake it till you make it, right?
Yep.
Create content, talking to who you want to attract. Maybe you haven't even had your first sale yet. That's okay. But you know who you're trying to attract. So if you're a coach and it's for, let's just say, health and wellness, you want to attract people that maybe are looking to better their health in 2024. So the beginning of your video is, hey, if you're looking to invest in your health in 2024, I want to help you. You have 2 seconds to grab somebody's attention on social. So you have it decreases. I think it was like a year ago was at 4 seconds. Now we're at 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a half a second by 2025.
I feel like it's non-existent already. But
yeah, right. It's so fast to grab somebody's attentions. But if you know exactly who you're trying to target, that's step one. And then being consistent and organized with your content and just showing up. If you're not organized, you're not going to be consistent with your content and your personal brand. And then once you create more content, you'll get more exposure. You'll kind of get some muscle memory going of what works and what doesn't work, looking into your data. The biggest thing is you just have to start, but utilizing your name. That was the most powerful thing for me because I used my name in the cosmetics brand, the agency, and now I brand myself when I'm speaking on stage. I'm, you know, the social expert, the personal branding expert, but Closing Day Agency is an entity of me as the individual.
Yeah. And that's what I always say too. It's like when you're branding yourself, you have so much more freedom and flexibility, right? Like if in 5 years I've done this and I'm maxed out and I'm tired and I want to do something else, I can do whatever I want. Or I can invest in other companies, or I can, if travel is my next thing, I can be whatever it is. You have that freedom and flexibility versus kind of being stuck or married to that, you know.
Your personal brand just opens up so many more opportunities. I mean, look at somebody even like Elon Musk. I barely know what he does other than Tesla and SpaceX, right? But he does so much more. And all I know is his personal brand, who he is, and Kim Kardashian as well. It's just, once you have that personal brand, you can do anything. If Closing Day Agency went bankrupt and fell off a cliff next week, I would still have my personal brand. Nobody can take away your personal brand. Nobody can file a lawsuit against the personal brand like a business. No one can touch my personal brand. It's still there. And I think if you have a business or you're in a 9-to-5, still having your personal brand is important because I don't like to say it's a backup plan, B plan, but it's always there for you to lean on and to utilize for what you can go get a free hotel room somewhere if you have enough followers.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It just adds credibility to whatever you're doing. It doesn't matter what it is. I love that so much. What are maybe 2 pieces of advice that you would give that small business owner, entrepreneur, on building their brand, kind of besides like really getting behind your name?
Yeah. So I still believe in face-to-face connection. I love how the phone can help you get more connections, but I still believe in the networking events and going to events in general. We have a rule right now, every quarter we're trying to go to something that for personal growth, just to help ourselves as an individual. But you meet so many like-minded people there and create partnerships, you know, with people when you're meeting them face to face. And then you get them into your ecosystem, into your social account, your Instagram, your TikTok, your Facebook. So if you're having a hard time growing online, it's faster to meet people online, even with Instagram lives, doing podcasts, Facebook lives, TikTok lives, and inviting other people in. So you're tapping into other audiences and getting more of a reach. The organic content can only really take you so far. It's the collaborations you do on post the live, going to events, talking to people, asking them to follow you, getting on stages down the road and asking a giant audience to follow you. That's the fastest way you're going to grow if you don't have a name established for yourself yet.
Yeah, I love that. And that's such great advice because I know a lot of my entrepreneurs and women that I coach, women and men, but will have opportunities to be in rooms or in front of an audience, big, small, whatever. And a lot of times don't know what to ask the audience. They might be like,
Or they forget to ask. I hear that a lot. I'm like, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah, just like that simple, hey, this is my Instagram. Go follow me on Instagram. Like just any way that you can get that engagement, that buy-in initially and just make a promise to yourself to not walk out of a room without, you know, putting something out there that helps to get your brand out there.
Well, data says that you can't really close a deal unless somebody sees you 6 or 7 times if the price value is over $1,000, which probably most of us that we're, you know, I'm speaking to today have a product over $1,000. And you're just, it's not, no one's going to purchase it online without speaking to somebody and then also seeing them show up 6 or 7 times on social. So if you're at an event and you ask somebody to follow you on Instagram, you're not going to go, oh, follow me on Instagram. And do you want to buy my product? No, you're going to put them into Instagram, right? You're going to keep making your content. You're going to get them to see you 6, 7 times going, oh, she really knows what she's talking about. I trust her. One of these days, you're going to have a piece of content that hits them and they're going to be DMing you. Go, okay, I'm ready. Let's talk.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. What is one of the, I guess, biggest challenges you see with some of the clients that you're working with? Like, is there a standard like point of resistance maybe or challenge that you would recommend people try to avoid?
Really, it's accountability. So many people come to us think that when they work with us, they don't have to do the work. You know, you're coming to me so I can tell you how to do the work and you still have to show up and do the work. And so I'll send concepts to clients every few days. Hey, I need you to record these 5 or 10 videos and they don't do it. And I have to hold them accountable and be like, hey, you're not going to grow and you're not going to utilize my expertise, Buck's expertise to the fullest capabilities if you don't listen to me and you don't create the content. And so I think people start and then they stop. They don't see the growth. They're looking at the vanity metrics, the likes, the comments, the shares. It doesn't matter. I have 12,000 followers on Instagram. It's not a lot, but I've made over 7 figures with my account, with my tiny 12,000 followers, because my content reaches more than the people that are following me or the people liking a piece of content. I had a piece of content last week that had, I think, like 1500 views on it, and it converted into $6,000 with a client that reached out because of it. And so you can't, that's why I'm all about connections. You can't look at vanity metrics. You can't get discouraged. You have to hold yourself accountable and show up every single day for yourself and for your own growth.
Yeah. And I do think that is the hardest part. And
Or we have excuses. I take my son to soccer and I just didn't have the time. Or if you're talking to 500 people a day, that's fine. I get it. But most of us listening are not talking to 500 people a day. Right. You have time. You have time. I mean, right now I have my phone in the corner recording me so I can just chop it up into little stories later. Yeah. And I'm making content as I'm doing things already. So I'm making it a part of my life instead of pausing what I'm doing to make content. You just have to make content in the moment.
Yeah. I think that's a really good piece of advice and I was just having this conversation today. Yeah. Because I mean, we all know there's rules to the stuff, right? You know, consistency. I'll be really honest. Like that has just never worked for me. It's been really, really a big challenge for me because I'm kind of one of those people that always relies on inspiration, on what is going on in my life.
You're more on the fly, so you're making content when you feel it and it comes to you.
Almost always. I mean, I definitely try or have it in my consciousness that, you know, I want to show up a couple times, definitely daily in my stories. Yeah. But other than that, probably not. And so I always feel like I'm doing it wrong, right? Like I'm doing it wrong. I'm totally, you know, not doing what it should be. But I think is there a happy medium in a place where, cause I feel like if I had to methodically put out content, I would hate my job, honestly. Like I just wouldn't do this anymore.
It's hard.
It's like, where's the happy medium? You know, like, I feel like we know that that's the measure of success, but there's gotta be something that like protects me too, as a creator, to not feel like I'm getting pulled under a truck.
The confusion lies with lack of strategy and organization. Strategy as far as you or someone else may not have a clear understanding of what your content pillars are, and you're probably not spending the time looking at data to see what pieces of content are actually connecting with others? Has something gone viral, and has it been worth it going viral? But mostly it sounds like content pillars of knowing when to talk about something. So for myself, one of my content pillars is like female empowerment. Then it's like social media, actual like tips and tricks. And then it's personal branding. And then just leadership in general. So that makes up my personal brand. And so I know I need to make content around that and coming up with the concepts inside those content pillars, because I know that's what's attracting my leads, my qualified leads. And so if you want to find a happy medium, you could say, okay, Mondays are for female empowerment, Tuesdays are for social media tips, Wednesdays are for this, right? And so then you stay organized because you know what each day needs, what type of content you need to create. I don't like batching content on my own. I literally had to hire a brand manager this year to just tell me, go downstairs, we're making content, or sit at your desk and I'm going to fire off questions and ask them to you, because it's just so hard for me to batch. I was always someone that did it day of, right, and it was okay. But what I did find was, yes, it was easier for me for my day-to-day life, but it was not as intentional and strategic as it is now for me, because I sit down and I actually go, okay, what content is converting and how do I do more of that? And what do I want to talk about more of now that is attracting leads for me to make more money and more connections?
Yeah, I love that. I've never heard it put quite like that, but that makes a lot more sense to me. I think it's always just been kind of like thrown at you nonstop. Like you have to do it this way. You have to do it this way. You have to do it this way. Like you have to do a content calendar. And also a lot of what I share is, you know, it's life stuff, right? It's life coaching. It's not necessarily like I can just pull like, oh, let me talk this tip today or whatever. And so I like the idea of splitting it up or getting clear on what those pillars are. Mm-hmm.
And people want more authentic raw content right now. That's what's the most popular too. So it's kind of in all of our favors. We all feel like as a community online said, all right, we're done with this campaign type shit. Like no one has time for this. I don't have time. YouTube used to be like so polished. You think everyone's like, let me just pull up my phone and give you value and speak to you from experience and actually help you. So that's great because you don't have to worry about having a fancy feed. Nobody cares about the, you know, how it looks anymore. People just are like, what's in this content? Is it valuable? Are you going to help me? Sorry, it's my dog. If it's not going to help me, you know, then why would I follow you?
Yeah, exactly. last question on that. Do you recommend that every piece of content has a call to action, like every video has a call to action, and should it be at the front or the end?
Yeah. So it should be in the beginning. People think it's at the end. The problem is, I said, we get that 2 seconds in the beginning to grab somebody's attention. It needs to follow in the middle. The likelihood of somebody staying on your entire video is very slim. And so it always was give value and then your call to action at the end. Yeah. It's like, no, it's like impact them in that first 2 seconds, give them value and then call to action and then get the more value at the end. But call to actions get confused because people think they need to be so direct. Hit my link in bio, call me, DM me. It can be very simple. If you like this information, like this video, share this video with a friend of yours that's struggling with X, Y, and Z. And so it doesn't have to be so transactional. It could be just for engagement and growth. And the truth is, if somebody resonates with a video that you create and trusts you, they know how to find you. We all know how to use apps now. We all know how to DM somebody. And so you don't have to be so specific anymore of reach out to me if you want to learn more. No, I know how to reach out to you. If I actually wanted to reach out to you and I think you can help me, I'll reach out to you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And in one of your videos too, I just saw that you were talking about Facebook Reels, which there's things like I usually just post content.
What the hell? They're exploding right now. I had a client a couple weeks ago get 500,000 views on like a signing tip video. And I didn't like Facebook, like still gets this type of reach. And so then I posted it for another client and they got 30,000 videos on a kitchen redesign. So, like the algorithm on Facebook is in all of our favors right now. Nobody's talking about Facebook. We're all talking about TikTok.
TikTok
is the platform to be on. I'm like, I kind of see a comeback for Facebook right now.
I mean, hey, I'm for it because the algorithm on Instagram is
and Facebook groups on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, can we get Facebook groups to come back? That was like the best way to like,
oh my God, that was how I grew my blog.
I'm sure.
Absolutely how I grew my blog back in the day. And at the height of my blog, I had 4 million annual viewers on there that I wasn't really doing anything with. I was just like sharing my stuff, but it was Facebook groups that literally is where it was at. I'm like, can I get anything like that anymore?
Yeah, right.
Oh my God.
Fingers crossed. Seems like Facebook's is making a comeback.
I mean, I'm for it. Wherever the comeback is, I'm for it.
Yeah, right.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this knowledge and all of this wisdom. And everybody, go follow Jocelyn. I'll put all of your links.
Don't be a stranger. If you have any questions, you want to send me videos, you want me to review them for you, I am an open book and I will help you.
I love it so much. And your story is so inspiring. Thank you again for sharing all of this knowledge. And until next time, everybody, get out there and hustle and thrive.
I love that. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. And remember, if you got value from today's show, please spread the love by clicking subscribe, leaving a stellar review, and telling everyone you know. And join us next time on the Sarah Centrella Show.